Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, won't you please make noise for Clippers forward, Kawhi Leonard.
Hey. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Who liked Deshaun Watson in the Bears front office?
John Fox.
And Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach. Now, he's still here. John Fox is gone. Is it possible that they completely ignored what the coach wanted because they clearly wanted the coach to fail the next year so they'd have all the ammunition that they wanted to move along from John Fox? Because I could make an argument that a Deshaun Watson-led team in 2017 wins more games and looks more promising than the Mike Glennon-Mitchell Trubisky combination. If you want to go full conspiracy on this, that once John Fox says, I like Deshaun Watson, in Ryan Pace's mind, he's like, la, 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 and is not going to sit down with Deshaun Watson.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're guest-free today, which I actually think I like every now and again that we do this because there's a lot of like little things that I want to get to on today's show. Like I want to talk about exhausting things. Not things that are exhausting, but actually exhausting types of ways to improve at the quarterback. I'll get to that in a minute, but we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
You started on that rundown yet?
Oh, this is just something I'm taking a break with.
Oh.
But I will get back to the rundown right now.
The rundown.
So last night I was doing some stuff. This is your rundown for Thursday, November 14th. And I got home and I was like, oh, West Coast hockey. Kind of. I mean,
let's do that hockey.
That's what I was thinking as I was sitting there. And I was happy that I did do that hockey, because the second period of the Blackhawks game was absolutely bananas. And the bananas got off to this start with a goal that the Las Vegas Golden Knights thought they had but didn't have.
Kane broken up. Merrill's up with Tuck, who has it. His shot goes in! Alex Tuck with a goal. The back bar, not the crossbar. 3-1.
Calvin DeHaan turns it over. Off to the races goes Alex Tuck. And he rifles that short side. I think they're going to have to look at this, Eddie and John. Let's see what happens from this look. Off the crossbar, off the bar. I don't think that'll count as a goal.
It didn't count as a goal. And then the Blackhawks came back down and scored two of their own. And they ended up winning out west against the Knights 5-3.
Again, DeHaan gets to it. 7 seconds left. Moved along for Riley Smith. At Chiaretti, tipped. Just wide, that's all. The Chicago Blackhawks with a big win here in Las Vegas. First win all time against the Vegas franchise. What a job tonight for Corey Crawford. Final count 5-3.
39 saves for Corey Crawford in the game. Patrick Kane has more points than anybody in the month of November. The Bulls are going to take on Milwaukee tonight in Milwaukee. That's going to be a thing. Here's what Jim Boylan said about his team and their problems shooting the basketball.
I don't go after these guys when they don't shoot well, and I don't go up to them when they do shoot well. You know, it's we know we can shoot the ball better as a whole. I thought last night we were 14 for 33. Is that what it was? 42%, I think. You know, that's where we hope to be, somewhere in there.
If he doesn't talk to them when they shoot well or when they shoot poorly, when does he talk to them? I don't know, Tone. I'm not sure. On to the baseball.
And
you
know, brother.
Tone, The GM meetings are going on out west, and Rick Hahn said this about the White Sox search for pitching.
With all these moves, free agent moves, specifically with pitching, it's going to come down to pricing and what's accessible and what's the price and what we're willing, what level of risk we're willing to bear. You're right that there's a heightened level of risk with free agent starting pitching signings. It's just the nature of the category. But as I alluded to yesterday, anything I say right now about we're willing to do X or you'll see us do this is meaningless until we actually do it. So if we actually go out and convert on a free agent pitching target, we'll talk about how we wound up at the term and why.
There is some news on the Chris Bryant grievance front. And I think this is part of the reason that there are people that are like, I don't like him because he's got Scott Boras as a client. Tony, drop the music just real quick. Let me tell you something. If you were that guy, you would have Scott Boras as your agent too. And I think that it's interesting that even though this guy has already given you as a team so much that you're willing to side with the team against him. It's interesting, but not surprising. Here's what Scott Boras said about Bryant's grievance.
The predictability and well said, you might put a asterisk 1-2. I don't know, but you, we're talking about, you know, Mookie has a year to go, and everybody's talking about Mookie going somewhere, and the guy's a franchise player. Yeah. And you're going, okay, you know, what are we going to do with this decision-making? And a lot of this has to do with the fact that the clubs have really leveraged the first 4 or so years of that player at minimal values, and they've taken great advantage of it. In these instances, a Mookie or a KB or whatever, they won world championships with it. And they have to make a determination of a different aspect of that player's career and how they view them. And I've seen clubs take this decision on, and it's often been a decision that they regret, whether they've kept them or whether they've traded them. And so it's because they're great players, they're really key decisions, and that's really all you can say about it.
Theo says that everything's cool with him and KB.
That's great. I mean, we spent some time talking at the on the break during the grievance and afterwards, and you know, I think the relationship we have personally is great, and between him and the organization just as great. So no, he's certainly a Cub in good standing, and we think really highly of him, and we like working together to try to get the most out of him and the team, and there's zero issue there whatsoever.
Zero issue. I don't know if I say zero issue, but I don't think that there's any. I don't think that it's cantankerous. I don't think Chris Bryant hears that Theo's coming to the clubhouse and runs the other way or is beelining towards him like, we got to get a deal done. I don't think that that's what's going on. It's negotiation. You try to get as much money as you can. On to the Bears. Matt Nagy says he doesn't know about putting Danny Trevathan and his arm that went the wrong direction on IR.
We haven't gotten to that yet. We're still working through it. So we'll kind of know more here as we go, but we don't know anything yet.
Yes, Tony?
Really? you don't know anything yet?
Look, maybe it's one of those things where it's a hyperextension.
Fam, I know what I saw.
We all know what we saw. I'm just saying that sometimes things can be better than they look. They've had a couple of bad elbow injuries this year.
Rick Camp, you saw it.
It wasn't great.
No, it was not great. As they're standing there with Danny on the sideline, you're like, oh, y'all should probably just get Danny to the back because he's not going back in today's game no matter what.
I still can't believe they say he was questionable to return.
Yeah. And what, Tony, explain for the people what happened when over the speaker, the public address announcer said that he was questionable. What happened on press row?
Everybody began laughing, not at the injury, but just the fact that he might return.
Right, that he was questionable for the game. This is what Matt Nagy had to say about wrong routes by wide receivers.
It can affect it. I mean, I know, put it this way. If I was playing quarterback and that happened, I can just speak for me. My trust would be affected a little bit. But then it gets earned back when they come back the next play to make a play for you. It's a part of the game. Sometimes that happens, and then they're able to, you know, you saw what Mitch did on some of those was he used his legs to take like a -3 yard gain to a +3 yard gain. That's a 6 yard net that now you're in 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 13.
Can I just say that I'm sure that the Bears players are probably fine with it considering where they're at in their careers. But Matt Nagy loves to put everyone else on blast except for the quarterback. It's always someone else's fault. It's never – he uses kid gloves with Mitch, and he will get on the other people. Well, this guy cut his route short, and I mean, what was Mitch supposed to do? Or this guy didn't finish his route. Or this guy had a sight adjustment that was different from what Mitch saw, and you can't fool the quarterback. Maybe it's the quarterback. Speaking of the quarterback, Mitch said this about playing more up-tempo football.
For me, and I think the other guys on offense, it's not as much thinking. The plays are a little bit simpler. We don't have as much motions. The defense is usually a little more vanilla. They don't usually bring as exotic of looks. So we just go out there. We're playing fast. Everybody's in their spot. Everybody knows their job. And we're not thinking. We're just going out there, doing what comes natural, following our instincts, and just playing fast.
Okay, I mean, yeah, simplifying seems to be a really good idea, and it seems to be you have a quarterback that would be interested in doing more simplification. That is your rundown for Thursday, November 14th. Those are the things that we are going to talk about. We're actually going to spend a little bit of time on this, spend some time on exhausting excuses when it comes to trying to get the most out of the quarterback position. And I want to talk about that in terms of Colin Kaepernick, too. I have a lot of thoughts on the subject, and I will share them with you after a quick timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
Do you know if the organization's decided yet whether they're going to attend the Kaepernick workout or not?
I honestly have no idea right now. I'm just kind of focused in on where we're at, so I'll leave that up to Ryan and those guys and see. And I know that you know they'll have a handle on that.
That was Matt Nagy yesterday talking a little bit about whether the Bears would send someone to go see Colin Kaepernick. There have been other teams that have been upfront about their desire to participate in this pro day that's happening Saturday in Atlanta. The Bears have been non-committal on the record. That doesn't mean that they're not sending anyone. They just haven't said that they're sending anyone, at least yet. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. The crew, White Chocolate himself, Rick Camp, executive producer Tony, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tony has done it again. Gil, also here as we talk a little bit about the Bears. I want to talk about the Bears quarterback situation in both the macro and the micro. With Kaepernick, Brad Biggs wrote a piece yesterday. I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I think a lot, Rick Morrissey wrote on it. There have been a lot of Bears fans, and quite honestly, I've been surprised. Anecdotally, this is not, you know, a scientific poll, although there are questions about how scientific some polling is anyway. But anecdotally, I've been surprised at the response that the Bears maybe taking a look at Kaepernick has garnered. What I find surprising about it is I thought for sure that it would be a preponderance of the people responding would be anti-Cap for whatever reason. There's plenty of reasons, both real and imagined, on why people would not want the Bears to go take a look at him. What I think is interesting about it is I wonder where the Venn diagram is. You know, you have the two circles and where things match up. I wonder in the Venn diagram of the people that were anti-Cap but have been pushed to, yeah, it can't hurt, by the play of the quarterback. You know what I'm saying, Tony? Like, is that person exists, right? Like,
they have to. If they really actually care about their football team and they're getting this kind of production from their starting quarterback, you're like, it doesn't matter to me that much. I want to win.
Right. Some of this stuff will stop mattering to you because you feel like the Bears defense is good enough to put you in a position to win. And maybe you're even looking long term. You're not even looking at the 2019 season and you're saying, they kind of bring in some sort of competition for Mitch, don't they? And I wonder how many people have been moved from their position. Now, I'm okay with people moving from their position. You get more information on things and it helps you come to a better conclusion on stuff. Like maybe there were people like, oh, well, you know, he's kneeling because he doesn't respect the flag. And then you find out, well, he had talked to a soldier. The soldier said the way to show ultimate respect was to kneel. And then you're like, oh, well, all right. And then you realize, oh, well, he's not protesting America per se, but he is protesting against some of the issues with policing in America. Ah, but he wore the pink socks. And then you're like, I can't support that because he wore pink socks. And my cousin happens to be a police officer in Moni or wherever. Bill Burr did I should have pulled the Bill Burr clip from his latest thing where he went in on this and it was really, really funny. But I do wonder about that person that 3 years ago was just like, no, never, never on my team. Never shall he grace Soldier Field. And after about six games this year, they were like, So Kaepernick's available. Maybe the Bears should look there for quarterback help.
It's kind of be honest for just one second.
Sure.
I don't think we just talked about in the first segment about handling Mitchell Trubisky with kid gloves in terms of deciding what's wrong and how to criticize. This will be the ultimate kind of blow to Mitch by them going out to see him, to see Cap work out. If in terms of what they've been known to do with Mitch, this will be the one. This will be the move, the first opening move to the public that the Bears are looking at other options. And it's just tough to see them going through with that, considering how they've been handling him, you know?
Yes. That's the other part of this, Tony, that I do think is interesting. By the way, I appreciate you texters that have outed yourself on this one. That you've held your hand up and been like, Lawrence, I'm that dude. I'm that guy. I had a problem with it, and now I don't have a problem with it because he might be able to help us. So I'm totally okay with whatever it is he's got to do, as long as he's more productive than the quarterback room that the Bears already have. And it's a bad quarterback room. I can't stress that enough. The Bears quarterback room is bad. You got Mitch, and would it be fair for me to put him in the category of unknown? Like, am I being fair to Mitch? Or evidence mounting, but we're still not quite sure. But the evidence is it's a big stack of papers.
Like unknown what the floor is?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some people who still hold out hope in the ceiling of Mitch because there are times. Here's what I don't get. NFL people are supposedly smart, right? And isn't Matt Patricia literally a rocket scientist?
Yes.
If I said to a Bears fan, if I offered them this option, any Bears fan who's watched Bears football this year, the defense that the other team is going to play can either play man or zone. Which one would you prefer Mitchell go up against? I'm here to tell you that 85% of those people are like, man, he can't read zone. So if we know that and you know that, how did Matt Patricia not know that? You know what Mitch is really good at? Beating man. He's actually really good. It's one of the things in the passing game that he can hang his hat on. If he sees man coverage, he's pretty good with ball placement. In man, he gives his receivers an opportunity to make plays in man, Why in the world would you do it?
And God forbid, if he ever decided that it's okay to run the ball again, it's easier to do that against man.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, back to the overall subject here, that we have to exhaust every resource when we're talking about the quarterbacking situation with the Bears. And I'm using both Kaepernick and Mitch to discuss this. In the case of Mitch, it's what does he do well? Okay, let's strip everything down. Let's run the ball. Let's run the ball out of I formation. Let's do a hurry up offense more often. Whatever it is that's going to get him comfortable enough that you can win some games. At some point, you're going to exhaust all of those things. And you're stuck with, we probably need to have a conversation about the quarterback. And he definitely needs. Let's say that Mitch rallies in these last seven games, which I actually give him a decent chance to do. Let's say he rallies and plays okay over the last seven games. The Bears can't fool themselves into thinking that things are fixed. They might be. They might be fixed. But you cannot go into next season with the same quarterback room. You cannot go into the next season hoping, praying that Mitch has got it without a contingency. Now, this is what scares me about your Chicago Bears. That stuff about the 2017 draft, and I know that there's a person that's reaching for the button to, I don't want to hear it. Here's why it's important. It seems to me, after the reporting that was done by Dan Wiederer and Rich Campbell in the Tribune, that the Bears didn't have a great contingency plan. That's scary to me. It's scary to me that their contingency was, we're going to draft our guy and we're going to give up resources to do it. Instead of being like, well, okay, we want to take Mitch and we don't want to show our hand that we're taking Mitch, but we're not going to move these four draft picks to do it. So let's hope that we get Mitch at three. But if we don't, let's be prepared to have Deshaun Watson. Do we think that they have learned from that experience? You don't have to answer, Tony and Campy. You guys don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical. Do we think that the Bears as an organization have learned from that? All right, now put that aside for a second, and let me get back to Kaepernick. Kaepernick is a contingency plan. And if I exhaust all of the excuses, if I exhaust all of the things that have people worried about Kaepernick, well, he hasn't played in 3 years. Okay, that's fair. He hasn't. But if you go to the workout and the interview and you feel like there's a developmental quarterback there and you would be developing him throughout the rest of the season, and then maybe he plays at the end of the season, depending on stuff, I can knock that out of the box. Well, okay, but still, he was bad his last year. Well, I think that's a little subjective. He had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in that last year. I don't think he was great in his last season, but wouldn't you take 16 and 4 right
also,
now?
Also, Jim Tomsula was his head coach.
He was.
That's it.
Here's the thing. He's 32. He's not 37, he's 32. And 32 without taking a pounding for the last 3 years. Like we were talking about with Chris Bryant, if we were drawing a quarterback for Matt Nagy's system, wouldn't it look like Colin Kaepernick? Seriously.
Apparently not the way Nagy wants to run it, because Nagy doesn't want that quarterback moving.
That's true, and that's a little bit scary. But wouldn't you trust, even with a 3-year layoff, Cap's body of work over Trubisky's? Something to think about. 312-644-6767 if you'd like to jump in and be a part of the conversation. When we come back, there was something that we didn't get to yesterday from the Rich Campbell thing that fits perfectly into what we're talking about, and it's probably going to make you mad. But we're going to share it anyway. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves youth hockey program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how your team can get on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. And truly, I appreciate you guys that are self-aware enough to be like, yeah, I was that dude in 2016, and now I'm going to get a cap jersey if he signs with the Bears. Back after this on The Score. The new Little Brother album is really, really good. I highly recommend it. Still think Fonte's solo album from last year is better, but the new Little Brother album is really good, very funny. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. A texter says to me, Lawrence, cap isn't great either. 28-30, career starter, career completions. Yeah, you can throw the stats at me. Him not being great is not the issue here. And I think that's one of the things that people, it's one of those things I want to check off of your little list. Although he actually has moments of greatness, he was still kind of an ascending quarterback before he walked away from the game. And I've talked to Steve Young, and I know that they initially had a pretty good, I heard Steve Young talking about Kaepernick yesterday.
But he didn't walk away from the game.
Who?
Kaepernick.
He didn't?
No. I wouldn't phrase it that way.
No.
I don't think he...
I think the proper way to phrase it is that he was blackballed by the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. No, he was blackballed by the league. But my thing is, with looking at his stats, free agent quarterbacks that are the greatest quarterbacks that ever live aren't free agents. You have a chance to bring in someone, and it really would only cost you money to do it. And not a lot of money. To me, ideally, if I were putting together a package to have Kaepernick on my team, it would be a 2-year deal. Obviously prorated because you're halfway through this year. I would look at it like Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota with these two particular quarterbacks, where Cap's not coming in to play in week 10 or week 12. Maybe week 13, 14, 15, and on. But by next August, I would have him in a position to compete if I thought I had something there. It's not they have to sign him because he's Brett Favre. This is an inexpensive opportunity for you to perhaps better your team. And again, like checking stuff off, do you understand that the Bears have activated a quarterback already that hasn't thrown a pass in 3 years? This season, in Tyler Bray. And his resume is lacking overall. I'm not here to tell you that the Bears should sign Cap. What I'm here to tell you is I would hope that that front office would exhaust every possible resource to find out if they can better their quarterback room. And I am here to tell you that Cap immediately makes their quarterback room better. That he's better than Chase, that he's better than Tyler Bray. Chase, by the way, as your three, fantastic. That's a fantastic three to have. Chase as your two, maybe not so much. Chase, by the way, says that he hopes that Kaepernick gets a look. All right, I promised you a piece of sound that was probably going to make you mad, and I'm going to do that before I take a couple phone calls at 312-644-6767. By the way, we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Yesterday, Rich Campbell was on the Mully and Hall show, and the whole interview was great. The piece that he and Dan Wiederer did on the 2017 draft was really, really well done and well sourced. When Tony and I went back and listened to the interview yesterday, there was one part that stuck out to us and clearly stuck out to Rich in his evaluation of the drafting of one Mitchell Trubisky.
I think there's some very interesting psychology that went on here. I mean, look at everything Pace has said about Mitch. in terms of his personality. Pace was very attracted to Mitch's humility and the family support structure that he had around him. And there are some noteworthy overlaps in traits between Mitch and Ryan. Both guys were, you know, relatively under-recruited coming out of high school, you know. So, and I just wonder if Pace saw some qualities in Mitch that he saw in himself. I agree with you that you know, the word infatuated or fixated, I wrote in the story that Trubisky captured his heart and mind of Pace and Josh Lucas. And that's an interesting psychological test right there, because once you are, you know, you've taken that fork in the road, how willing are you to see what's in the other lanes still? And, you know, again, the Bears were not alone in their evaluation of Mitch as the top quarterback in the draft. But yeah, boy, the Watson factor now, that, you know, that ability to just win and the charisma, that is translating to the NFL. And he's also done a lot better protecting the ball. And so there you have a guy who's now a top five candidate for MVP this year.
So that was Rich Campbell on Mullion Hall talking about, I do wonder if Ryan Pace like saw himself in Mitchell Trubisky and was like, got to have him, because that great family structure. Great family structure of support. Even though Patrick Mahomes has been in professional clubhouses and locker rooms his whole life, and his parents are at every game. And Deshaun, never mind. Out to Matt in Aurora. Hey, Matt, you're on the score.
Well, just on that last, it's funny you say that, because I've always thought Pace and Mitch look alike too, which has always been a little weird to me. Little similar facial structure. But anyway, regarding what you said about if it's possible for Pace to have learned about getting a little overzealous on Trubisky as well as the cap signing, I think those things kind of dovetail. Because while this is in no way justify his infatuation with Mitch to the point of neglecting looking into Watson, he was kind of a young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed general manager, and hopefully, maybe, possibly, he has learned some lessons as he's matured in his own role as general manager. However, in terms of the cap signing, he damn well better have some people there on Saturday, because if not, then he hasn't learned anything in terms of having a contingency plan. Like you said, cap is not an answer. He is a backup plan that Ryan did not bother with Trubisky. So I hope he's there. I hope he checks out every quarterback available. And if cap sucks, so be it. But there's a chance he doesn't. So you got to take a look.
Exactly, Matt. That's the point here. And I think most people get it.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
It costs you nothing.
Nothing.
Relatively speaking, it costs you nothing. A plane ticket to Atlanta and a stay at the Homewood Suites.
I think I figured out a trait.
Oh, what you got, Campy?
That Mitch Trubisky is similar to Ryan Payson and better than Mahomes and Watson at.
Okay.
Here we go.
Jawline. If Ryan Pace is looking for someone like himself, Ryan Pace has the strong jawline. So I think Mitch is there with him.
All right, I have to take a look at Mahomes and Watson, because I feel like Watson's got a strong jawline too.
Not like Mitch. Well, Mitch got them both beat in
half,
that category.
Halfway. This segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Let me ask you guys, you can just text in your thoughts on this. In what ways do you think that Pace may have seen himself in Mitch that he didn't in Deshaun or Patrick Mahomes? You can just text us at 670-11. Back after this on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.